We're going to finish off what we've been looking at this last few weeks. We've been looking at the life of Joseph. We've been encouraging our hearts and we've been reminding ourselves that there are trials in life. As we said last week, there are many trials in life that want to come to absolutely destroy us. And in some ways they do. But God is such a good God. He uses, pardon me, he has purpose in the midst of that. And he turns those things around for his glory and for our benefit. But in the midst of the trial, it's hard to see. In the midst of the trial, it's hard to know, is this a God thing? Is this a me thing? Is God doing something here? And we encourage ourselves and we say, hang on until he's finished. Because like Joseph in the pit, he was like, am I ever going to get out of this one? But he kept trusting God. Whether it be in the palace, whether it be in the prison, he kept trusting God. There was time in between, and we said it. It took 12 years from Joseph to go from the dream of everybody's going to bow down to me. I'm going to have an important thing going on in my life. I'm going to be an important person in my life. And I think it took about 12 years for him to get to the palace. That's a long journey. That's a long ups and downs. That's long days, hard days. Days where you think, is God ever going to do this thing? Is God ever going to bring me through? But God says this morning, I have your life under control and I know what I'm doing and you've got to trust me. And so the Lord, I was just praying, and I felt like this is what the Lord said. We got to finish off with victory, which has just been on my heart this week, and it's just already just coming through today already. But that we are men and women of victory. Because even when Joseph was going through his difficult trials, even when Joseph was going through the hardest battles, even when Joseph was being discouraged to the utmost, he was still a victorious person because he had a victorious God. And this morning, we need to know that in our trials and in our battles and in our fires, we have a victorious God who is for us and not against us. Now, I know that we say that over and over and over again, but we need to encourage our hearts. We have a victorious God. He is for me. He is for you. There is victory with you because you are, I'm going to need a drink. Something funny is happening in my throat. I've just got something caught. I don't know what it is. I've got victory, don't worry. I'm going to take a quick drink. It's going to be anointed, this drink. We have victory. There we go. We do. And God has given us victory. And this is what the Lord wants to encourage us with this morning. And I know that wherever we find ourselves, victory is a great thing when it's at the end. And then we look back and we go, oh, that was amazing, God. I'm so thankful, God, for all that you've done. But victory is not easy when you're in the middle. And maybe you're in the middle this morning. Maybe you're in the middle of the chaos. Maybe you're in the middle of the battle. Maybe you're about to face the battle, or you're at the beginning of the battle. And now there's many of us. And here's the scary part at the beginning of the battle. We almost get a glimpse of how hard it's going to be. And we think to ourselves, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go through this. I don't know if I can stick to this thing. I don't know if I can be that committed. I don't know if I can be that good. You know, one of the biggest things that robs people of salvation at the earliest stage is that sometimes they look at our lives and they just say, I don't think I could be like you. I don't think I could be a Christian. I would love to turn to God. I would love to accept God into my life, but I just don't think I could be a person like you. And maybe the thing that we're missing to translate is that I'm not being this person. This is Christ in me. And maybe the biggest thing that we need to give away and help other people understand, and possibly it's only through the Holy Spirit you can grasp this, is that we don't do anything in our own strength. The moment we start to do it in our own strength, we're already starting to feel. We're already starting to go down. But the Lord says this morning, you have victory because you are in me. You are in me. You're an overcomer this morning. Here's what it says in John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, or the darkness cannot comprehend it. In other words, there is no fight. There is light inside of us, and it's the light of Christ. And no matter how dark it gets, our light continues to shine. And then I thought about something in between all of that, and it seems to be sometimes when the smoke comes or when the fog comes, it almost feels like it does defeat the light because it seems to get in the way. It seems to get in the way. And I feel like sometimes in our lives there's smoke and there's fog and there's all these things that come in between the darkness and the light, and we think to ourselves, God, am I still strong enough? And the Lord says, I've never been weak. I've never been weak. Even in the cross, I laid down my life. No one took it from me. I give it away. And so this morning, we need to encourage ourselves. Our victory is not how we feel all of the time. Our victory is in Christ, and he is for us. And even when the darkness comes, when the darkness comes, it cannot overcome the light because it can never defeat the light. And we are men and women. We are sons and daughters of the light. When you think about Joseph and the trials that he went through, he lived when he should have died. He went into the pit. There was no water there, the word says. We read it a couple of weeks ago. He was into the pit, thrown into the pit, and the purpose of the pit was death. But he lived because he was a man of victory, because he was with the Lord. And this morning, church, we need to know that we are men and women of victory. And even in the pit, even in the place of death, even though there's no water, we should not survive, we should not live. The Lord will cause us to live, and he'll cause us to spring up. Spring up, oh well, we sing it. Because the Lord's able to do that even in the barren places, even in the dry places. He can make a well. He can bring the rain where there's been no rain. He can bring that healing forgiveness where there's been none in your life. He can bring a fullness when there's only been barrenness and there's only been emptiness. And the Lord says this morning, I'm fully aware of your trials. I'm fully aware of them, but I'm a God bigger than your trials because I am a God of victory. When Joseph shouldn't have escaped, when he should have been caught red-handed, when he not even so much caught red-handed because he did something, because of Potiphar's wife, she had him set up, so he had no escape there. He somehow managed to escape because even then, he was still in victory with the Lord. The Lord gave him a way out. And this morning, wherever we find ourselves, there's a place of escape. Escape away with the Lord. Here's how escape wants to get us sometimes. Escape wants to fool us sometimes and say, you know what, if you could only run away from the situation, things would get better. And there's a truth in that, but the truth is if we're not running away with God, then we're running away in general. And anything that we run away with, we never deal with. Now, Joseph wasn't running away from something that he needed to deal with. He was running away because the Lord gave him a way out, and he says, Joseph, you got to get out of here. This is how you're going to deal with this situation. You're going to get out of here. And this morning, church, we need to be wise to the times when there's places to escape, and then there's times to stay, and there's times to fight, and there's times to hold on, and there's times to believe. But in this moment, this was not a moment like the pit. This was a moment to get away because the Lord gave Joseph a way out. And the Lord is here this morning. He says, I know everything you're going to face. I know all the trials that you're going through, and I'm a good God, and in the midst of that, I'm going to bring you through. Joseph had no right to be promoted, but his life was promoted in a place he should never have been promoted. He's in the enemy's land. He's living in a foreign place, in a foreign land where his God is not represented. And what happens in the end? Instead of being a slave, he becomes prime minister because he's serving a victorious God. And everywhere he went, we read it scripture after scripture over his last few weeks, everywhere Joseph found himself, the Lord caused him to prosper. Everywhere you find yourself, the Lord's going to cause you to prosper. Don't turn your back on the Lord because that is where your victory is. Don't turn your back on Jesus because he is your victory this morning. It doesn't look like it in the circumstances. The enemy's telling you differently. Everybody else around is telling you, who do you think that you are? But God's saying, I am with you. And so even in despair, you carry victory because victory is who you are. It is your identity. And this morning, church, if we remember nothing else, we remember this. Victory is our identity because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are more than overcomers, Romans tells us, because of the victory that Jesus has won for us. Here's how good our God is. John 1:1 says this. I love these verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. In other words, what it's saying is that right at the beginning, Jesus existed. Right from time began, right before time, Jesus existed. And he came all the way through history till he came to being born through Mary. And then he went to the grave. He went to the cross and then he went to the grave. And then he rose victorious. You see, Jesus was victorious from day number one right to the end. He never lost his victory. He never, ever, ever lost his victory. And we need to know this morning as believers in Christ that we never lose our victory. Even when circumstances look different, even when circumstances look wrong, even when circumstances look like they are taking everything from us, we are still in victory in Christ. In other words, it's about who you have, not what you've got. Our possessions don't determine our victory. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And that's a good word for us this morning to know, because no matter what you take from me, you cannot take the relationship I've got with Jesus. He is my Savior. He is my rock. And I walk in victory. And every step that I take is a victorious step because of the life that God has created inside of me. Even in the pit, remember this, Joseph was still in victory. Even in the palace when it wasn't his time yet, he was still in victory. Even in the prison, he was still in victory. How do we know it? Because it said the Lord was with them. And everywhere he was, he caused Joseph to prosper. Church, this morning we've got to know that no matter what obstacles get in our way, we may not have a way around them, but God knows the way around them. We've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. And our victory is wrapped up in our trust and our faith. Because in those circumstances where it says, God, I'm not sure if I can get through this. I'm not sure if I can see the end of this. The Lord says, trust me. Because I see around this obstacle. I see through this obstacle. In actual fact, I can even use this obstacle as a springboard to your future. Because we said it, the trials. Joseph needed the trials to get to where he was going to go to become the man he needed to become prime minister of all of Egypt. He had some things that he had to go through. And the Lord even used the trials, not as places of death, but as springboards for his future. Because the Lord is so good that even in your place of defeat, he brings victory. And this morning, church, we need to encourage our hearts. And if this is not a word that you need, then maybe this is a word that you need to carry to somebody else. Because the truth is, we may not be able to get around the obstacle, but the Lord says there's no obstacle that stops me. There's nothing that can stop me. And as a church, we need to encourage our hearts. As a church this morning, as a body of people, as a group of believers, we need to remind ourselves that we are living in a miracle. We're living in a miracle. This whole building is a miracle. And God's far and above buildings, but this whole building is a miracle. But your life is a miracle because it's held in the palm of God's hand. It's held in his hand, and he sustains all things, and he is good. He is good. And there's times where the Lord takes things away for our benefit, and it doesn't feel like it, and it feels painful, and it doesn't feel good, but sometimes he takes things away that are no good to give us other things that are better. And we've got to trust him in the process. God says this morning, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, you are men and women, sons and daughters of victory. It cannot be removed from you because you are in Christ and we abide in him. God is for us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to give up. Even in the midst of the trials, we keep on going. We are thankful for what the Lord has done. And here's the big thing that God has just been really pushing into my heart, and I believe it's going to be just an encouragement to our hearts, is to remind ourselves we are victorious, but we also have authority. We have authority to speak over things. We have authority to speak life over things, and then we have an authority to speak death over things. The Bible tells us that whatever we bind on earth, we bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we loose in heaven. In other words, the Lord has given us power with the things that we say. And it's important that we say good things. It's important that we say God things. It's important that we speak out and we say the things of God, not just the things of me or the things of other men. We say the things of God. And how do we know the things of God? We get to the Word. And we see what the Word says. And we say, God, it doesn't make any sense, but I see what your Word says. I'm going to declare this over my situation. I'm going to believe in the midst of unbelief. I'm going to believe in a risen Savior. I'm going to believe that there's a victorious God that is with me. And we're going to look in just a moment some verses that are going to encourage our hearts. But we have an authority. And for us to keep going for God and to stay in our victory, I believe three quick things this morning before we look at Deuteronomy. And it's three quick things what we need to do on a daily basis, I believe, in our lives, is take stock. Take stock of all the things that God has done so that we can encourage ourselves in the victories that we have from God. Not what we need or not what we have in God. Take stock of what we do have. Take stock of all that the Lord has done for us. I mean, if we do that as a church, we say to ourselves, look at all the money that the Lord has blessed us with. Look at all the money that God has given us. $45,000 for here, $175,000 for over there, and then probably $100+ to get everything ready. I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of pounds. That is incredible. And yet the Lord says, that's just money. That's not salvation. That's not your heart forgiven. That's not your brokenness restored. Those things are priceless. I mean, I can do the financial things, but I also do the deeper things. I restore broken people. I take people that are messes and I turn them into messages for Christ. I take people that have no hope and I fill them so full of hope they can carry hope and they can give it away to other people that have no hope. That's the God that we serve. That he can take people like you and me, ordinary people, that if you'd have seen us a few years ago, maybe there's people even in our workplace that go, really? Because they know you from before. Or our family members, they know you from before, but the transformation that's taken place in your life is so complete and so total that people won't even recognize you anymore because our God is so good. You need to take stock in our own lives personally. You need to take stock in all the good things that God has done. Maybe there's times we need to write some things down and say, God, you've done miracles in my life. You have done signs and wonders in my life. You've done healing in my life. I've seen you save me, and I've seen you save other people. They're the kind of things that we need to take stock of so that the enemy can't move us in. Second thing is, whenever we take stock of what God has done and we remind ourselves of the victories that God has won through us and won for us, we pray differently. We pray differently because what do? We pray with expectation. And praying with expectation is completely different than just praying with, Lord, just whatever will be. Just, Lord, whatever you can do. Just, Lord, I just hope that I'll get through this. No, we start to pray with expectation because we say, Lord, whatever you've done before, I believe you're going to do it again. Lord, I've seen what you've done with this person, with that person. Lord, I believe you could do it with me. I believe you could do it through me. I know that I don't deserve it. I know that I don't have the faith in it. But Lord, I know that you're big enough, and I know that you're great enough, and I know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, church, this morning, expectation is so important as we pray because expectation reminds us of what God's already done. And it says, God, would you do it again? God, would you do it again? It encourages me to pray a different way. It gives me expectation to pray a different way. And all of that leads through to victory, to remind ourselves that darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. No exit polls, no politicians, no life-changing consequences. They cannot change the light that's inside of us because God is too good this morning. He is too good. No final report, no document signed by the highest authority in this world can ever take away from the victory that we have in Christ. And this morning, church, we need to know this stuff because this is what's going to radically transform our lives. In other ways, instead of going from glory to glory, we're going to go from disaster to disaster, which is what the enemy wants. Here's what Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 to 4 says. We're going to read it together. When you go out to war against your enemies, and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you out from a land of Egypt. I mean, if that was enough, and if that's where we finished, that's more than enough. And the Lord is saying this morning, look out, there are enemies bigger than you. They have more equipment than you. They have more things than you. They seem to have everything better than you. Yours seems to be falling apart. They seem to have everything perfect. We look out sometimes and we say, wow, it feels like being as a Christian seems to be harder than anything else because everybody else seems to be getting on better. They seem to have more money than me. They seem to have more things than me. They seem to have everything better than me. And the Lord says, no, here's the distinguishing factor between you and everybody else. The Lord is for you. The Lord is with you. You can have whatever you want. You can have all the armies you want, but if we have us in God, we have the majority. This is the truth this morning. This is a truth that we need to know in our hearts. We go out with 10 people against an army of 1,000. It's no contest if the Lord is with us. It is no contest if the Lord is with us, if he is with us in that battle. And this morning the Lord says, I am with you. I have drawn near to you. And when you draw near to the battle, it says the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for the battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. You see, the Lord knows things. He knows that our hearts grow weary and our hearts faint. He knows sometimes when we see these impossible circumstances and we go through these impossible trials that our hearts are fainting and that we get weary and we just get beat up and we just say, Lord, I don't know if I can take another step. I don't know if I can keep going. And the Lord says this morning, it is my strength in you. And there are times where you will sit down, but I will keep fighting. There are times when you will rest, but I will keep moving. And the Lord says this morning, when you sleep and when I give you the blessing of sleep, and you're having a blessed sleep, do you think that I've stopped battling for you? Absolutely not, says the Lord. Even when we sleep, even when we're distracted, even when we can't pray, the Lord is praying and interceding for us. He is continuously fighting the battle. If only we could see what's really going on. The Lord holds back all of the things to not let us get too dismayed. But let us know this morning. The Lord is fighting for us even at times when we're not even thinking about us, when we're not even thinking about the trials, when we're not even thinking about the challenges. He is working for our good because he is a good God. And church, this morning, we need to know this in our hearts. We need to know this. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic. We do this all of the time, but the Lord says you don't need to. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you. Remember this. The Lord goes to fight for you. Sometimes we go to try to fight and it's hard and it's difficult. Now we fight and you know what that means, but what God's saying this morning spiritually, he fights for us. He fights for us. He fights through us. He fights ahead of us. He fights the battle with us. God fights for you to give you the victory. And that is what the Lord wants to remind us of this morning, is that he has given us the victory because of the battles. And if we go through the battles and as we go through them with the Lord, and as we go through the trials and we go through the challenges, the Lord is bringing us the victory. What was the victory in Joseph's life? that he fulfilled the destiny and the call of God in his life, that he got to the place of position, that he got to be the prime minister of all of Egypt. I mean, this is the prime minister of the foreign land. They don't believe in God. They don't like God. They've got their own God. He's called Pharaoh. They have an earthly God who thinks he's a God, but he's just a man. And Joseph comes in and he runs the kingdom. He pretty much took over. Because when the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Now, he had many, 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 many challenges, many trials, many ups and downs, many defeats on the way to there. But victory was within him, and victory is who he served, and victory is what he had because he had the Lord with him. And church, this morning, we need to know that we have victory because we have the Lord with us. And if you don't, then ask the Lord to come into your life. Ask him to take away your sins. Ask him to make you a brand new creation because he's able to do that and give you the victory that you need. How do we defeat what we see? It says right at the beginning of there, verse 1, it says you're going to see the enemy has more horses than you, more chariots than you, has a larger army than you. How do we defeat that? By stop looking at that and start looking at our God. Simple. But it's really hard in the battle. Stop looking so much at what everything you don't have and what the enemy's coming with you at and start looking to our God and say, but I can see Jesus. I know the Lord. I know that he's for me. I know that he is with me. And we just keep doing that in faith day after day after day because we say, enemy, you will not defeat us. You will not overcome us. God says, do not fear or panic or dread of them because I am with you. And here's the good news. In the middle of that, it talks about a priest. And when I think about that priest, it automatically draws me to the New Testament, to Hebrews, to remind us of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. He is the one who makes the difference. This is what it says in Hebrews 4:14. Since then, we have a great high priest. This is Jesus, who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And the Lord says this morning, when you're going through the battles and when you're going through the trials, and as you go through as men and women of victory, it's not saying that you won't have times of need. This is not about not having times of need. There will be times of need. There will be times of weakness. There will be challenges. There will be unbearable things that you think, I can't even continue on any longer. But the Lord says, that doesn't take your victory away. That's just a time to reach out for greater victory and say, Jesus, I need you all the more. Because I have a great high priest that cannot be pushed away. I have a great high priest that cannot be defeated. Jesus is my victory. He says that we may receive victory and find grace to help in a time of need. Are we here this morning and we need to receive mercy and we need to receive grace because we're in a time of need? You see, we can be in a time of need and still have victory because there's the declaration, there's the promise. Even in a time of need, you're not out of resource, you're not out of supply, you're not out of Jesus. He's right there with you. And if you need mercy and you need grace and you need help, he is there. Wow. See, without Jesus, when we get into times of need and then we have nothing, then who do we turn to? Because other people have lots of needs too. And they're like, well, I can't help you. I'm not able to supply. I don't have what you need. And Jesus says, look higher. Look to something greater. Look to someone greater. Remind yourself of who you have. It's Jesus, our great high priest. He's able to supply. He's able to meet the demand. He has mercy beyond limits. He has grace like you wouldn't believe. And he's able to bring us through because he is our victory this morning. He is our victory. Here's what Joshua 4 says. I'm thinking about the Old Testament. And I think this is a good thing for us to remind ourselves of this morning. We're going to read this. We're going to be done just in a few moments because I know time's going. But it says it was at Gilgal that Joshua piled up 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. It says this, then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until they were all across, just as he did the Red Sea. When he dried it up until we had all crossed over, he did that so that all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Here's the truth of the story. Joshua comes along. These are the continuation of the Israelites. You remember way back years before this, they came to the Red Sea and they had no way through it. They felt that there was no way to get through the Red Sea. The enemy is behind them. There's a challenge in front of them. There's nowhere to go, Lord. Just take us now. There's no point living any longer. The Israelites must have thought, this is it. We've left maybe a place. They even said it themselves. I know it was tough back in Egypt, but maybe we should have stayed there. And you get to this place of just nowhere to go. Just nowhere to go. And maybe you're at a place this morning where you've just nowhere to go. And yet in the place of nowhere to go, Jesus, the Father made a way. The Father made a way. He split the sea and they walked right through it. This is what we sing. He split the sea and we walked right through it. And as the enemies came behind us, what did he do? He used the very sea for our freedom and for our victory to make it the enemy's defeat. To make it the enemy's defeat. Now, what should that land have been? And what should that sea have been? It should have been our defeat. And it ultimately became the enemy's defeat. See, the Lord is able to turn all things around because we serve a victorious God. And not only did he do it then, but he does it again. Because it says, then years later, as Joshua brings the children of Israel and they're going to the promised land, they come to the River Jordan. And we're going to finish on this. But here's the thing that the Lord wants to encourage you with this morning. There's victory in you. There's more victory ahead of you. There's the best yet to come. There's more. There's more. There's more. The obstacles are there. The challenges are there. The trials are there. Do not let them rob you of the place that God is bringing you to. As they got to the Jordan River, they had a decision to make. Here's the difference between the Jordan River and the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea, is that they had no choice but to get through the Red Sea. They had no choice. The enemy's right hard at their heels. They have to get through this, or it's death. But now they get to the Jordan River, they have a choice to make. The other one, no choice. It's just they got to move, otherwise they're going to die. Now they're at the Jordan River, and they have a choice to make. Do we stay on this side, where we have a safe place, or do we cross over and go for the promised land? Do we cross over and go for the challenge of God's got more, God's got greater, we're believing for full victory? Do we risk it? Do we believe that God can part this sea just as he did the Red Sea? Do we keep believing? And as the children of Israel started to pray and believe, he parted the sea like he did before. He did it again. And they walked right through. Not this time because they had no choice. This time they had every choice, but they chose to walk through because they were men and women of victory. And church, this morning, we have a choice to make. The Lord says there is plenty of things to derail you. There's plenty of things to confuse you. There's plenty of things to lick your wounds on. There's plenty of things to hold on to forever and ever and ever. But the Lord says, maybe there's a Jordan right in front of us today. And the Lord says, I know you've been through trials. I know you've been through battles. I know you've been through hardship. But I'm ready to part that Jordan in front of you. And I'm ready to bring you through to a new land, to a better place, to a land flowing with milk and honey, the word said. A new Canaan. The Lord says, I'm bringing you through to a better place. And you are in victory, but I've got more victory for you this morning. Who wants to walk through? It was a personal decision. It was a personal choice. Some didn't do it. Others did. And the Lord says this morning, who's ready to walk through? Who's ready to go through? I know it's easier just to allow the big things to dominate in our lives. I know it's easier just to keep on going this way and just keep fighting just to survive. But the Lord says, you are victorious because you are in me. You are in me. Can we stand together? We're going to pray. As we pray, I want to read one more verse from Joshua 5. As they went through in Joshua 4, they got to Joshua 5 after they go through the sea, the River Jordan. It says, when all the Amorite kings of the west of Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. You see, the purpose not only of our victory is for ourselves, but it's to defeat the enemy. The purpose of our victory is not just to encourage ourselves and allow us to go from one place to another place. It's to disable the enemy. It's to rob the enemy of the victory that he thought he had. Now, here's the final truth of victory. You only get victory if you go through battles. You only do. You only get victory as you go through battles. And the Lord says this morning, you have went through many battles, and you continue to go through many battles, and you will continue to go through more battles. But the Lord says you have victory inside of you, you have victory in front of you, and you have victory with you, because the Lord goes with us in all things and he strengthens us. Can we pray this morning? Lord, this morning I thank you for your heart. And thank you for your heart that we are a victorious people. Now, I know that we don't feel it because we want to feel everything and we want to know everything. But the Lord says this morning, you have it because you're in me. Start to activate that by faith. Start to receive that by faith. And even when the negatives come and even when the challenges come, we aren't delusional in them. We aren't passing them over. But we just say, our God is bigger. We just say, I know I've got to go through this challenge, but God's going to do something greater. I have a victorious Savior. I have a risen Jesus. There is no sting in death any longer for me. I have a victory that cannot be robbed from me. I am in Christ this morning. And so, Lord, I pray as we would sing, as we would worship, we would know that all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and all the way into heaven for eternity, the Lord teaches us to sing and to praise. The Lord teaches us to rise up a heart and a culture that will praise no matter the storm. The Lord teaches us to praise and to sing no matter how bad it looks, no matter the defeat sometimes, no matter the wounds sometimes. He teaches us to sing and to worship. And I'd love as we would sing and worship this morning that the Lord would do something deep and spiritual in our hearts to say, you are a victorious people. I'm going to start singing it over you. I'm going to start speaking it over you. I'm going to keep saying it over you until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are a victorious person because of what the Lord has done inside of you. In our times of need, we have our victory because we reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, give me more mercy. Give me more grace. I need it. I'm in a place of need. I need your help. Jesus, you're a wonderful Savior. You are a wonderful Jesus. Just pray this morning. You're just changing us, Lord. Just challenging our hearts this morning. Equipping us and blessing us. In your precious name, amen. Come on, we're going to sing victory this morning as we do. We're going to lift our offering. We're going to give to the Lord.